Good morning, Radio DePaul. Good morning, Skrull Nation. You are listening to Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. Today is Friday, April 13th. You're listening to Skrull Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing tutoring and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, or the Equable. I'm your host. I'm back. I was missing last week, but I'm Kate H., joined as always by my lovely co-host. Hey, Gia Z., what's up?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. I missed you guys last week. Did you miss me?
Yeah,
we missed you so much. We talked about it for like a hot sec.
That makes me feel good. And we also have Zoe K. What's up?
Hey, hey.
Did you miss me?
I missed you so much. Okay, like, not even just here. I thought about you every day you were gone.
Truly.
Okay, cool, because I thought about you guys every day.
I was, like, so sad you weren't at my shift on Thursday, and I was just like...
We were very, very just...
You were missing.
Yeah.
You were missing gallivanting in California.
I was, yeah. Thank you.
How was California?
For saying I was gallivanting. Yeah. It was really fun, but I have to say, like, I'm sort of feeling the feelings that you guys are explaining because we don't have Katie in the studio with us.
No, Katie's absent today. She's at a mandatory meeting for her international program.
She's going to be studying abroad, yeah. So we're excited for her, but we're also...
We miss her.
She'll be back next week. We'll be back to our normal,
full host schedule.
Oh, it'll be so good, because we haven't had a show yet this season with full hosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is our second show.
Next week is going to be nuts.
Yeah, we're ready to bring it.
Bring it on.
So today is Friday the 13th, which is kind of a big deal. And we're going to call this the Black Cat episode because we wanted to focus on kind of the whole general idea of bad luck. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see how that connects to peer writing tutoring. Well, it may not seem so obvious now. We'll dig into it.
I'm definitely thinking that the way we go into things and any superstitions that we have previously definitely influences how the outcome can be. And I think the same thing is like with peer tutoring. Like if you go into it feeling funky, and you're probably going to come out of it feeling funkier.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
How does the outside environment affect us?
Yeah.
As tutors.
Good point.
As people, students.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. We've already got some connections.
Yeah, we do.
So we've done a Friday the 13th episode before, excuse me, and I remember learning a little bit about the history on why they're bad, but I think Zoe is our resident expert today.
I am the resident expert.
Do you want to remind me why they're bad?
I do. So there's a lot of historical connotation.
That's what I remember. There is like
a billion different reasons.
Ways that it came from.
It's not even just Friday the 13th, but it's Fridays in general, and the number 13 in general has some very danger things. Danger. So one of the big things we can start out with is in Norse mythology.
Ooh.
There was a story that...
Wait, 1 second. Can we just call this segment Folklore? We love it!
That's a new reoccurring segment on the show.
We love it!
So Friday the 13th superstitions in Norse mythology started with 12 gods of Norse mythology having a feast.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the gods, which you may know from Marvel movies, Loki... decided to crash the party as an uninvited 13th guest. So he was the unlucky number 13. But he had arranged for Hod, the blind god of darkness. So this dude's blind. But he had arranged for this guy to shoot an arrow just for funsies. And Loki arranged it so that way this arrow shot Baldur, the god of joy and gladness, accidentally. Like, intentionally, but accidentally. Like, Hod didn't know what he was doing, but Loki knew what was going on.
Mm.
So this 13th person arranged for the death of a god at this dinner party, and then Baldur died and Earth was just devastated for a long time.
Wow.
So that's, but in that correlation, dinner parties in Friday the 13th don't have a dinner party today because also the Last Supper, Judas was the 13th guest at the Last Supper. And guess who betrayed Jesus? It was Judas.
Wow. Lady Gaga wrote a song about it.
Yeah, really.
Maybe we'll play that. That's like
that's actually a good idea. But so that's some two dinner parties that you should definitely not go
to. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Do we know? Okay, so that's the Norse mythology.
The Norse mythology, biblical references.
And biblical,
And there's also a very big superstition around Fridays being...
Oh my gosh, you're wearing a Beetlejuice shirt.
I am.
I can't say it anymore.
That's amazing.
I love this shirt. But it's spooky. I had to be spooky today.
Yeah, right, of course.
And there's also a connotation that on Fridays there's the witches' Sabbath, because Fridays is the day of the witches, and there's every coven should have about 12 witches.
Really?
And the 13th member is the devil.
Oh my god.
Okay, so we need 8 more.
I mean, like, this is a traditional, like, Norseman, Germanic tribes.
Sure.
Having 12 because
yeah, I don't know if we're like a Norse coven.
Yeah, we're definitely not a Norse coven out here.
I don't
Skrull.
Think any of us are Norse. Are you Norse?
Mm-mm.
No, I guess I that would be not. Cultural appropriation then, probably. Right?
Probably. Well, we don't know.
But if it's myth.
Yeah, this is myth. This is more myth. Because
mythological
appropriation out here at Skrull. Not really. We respect all myths and yes. we support. Yeah. We're learning about
we support.
Them.
We would love learning about mm-hmm. other myths
or just
outside of our own
concept.
Cultures.
Yes, truly. But so that's one of the other reasons. It's just that the witches would gather 12 of them on Fridays gotcha. To summon the 13th member of their coven, the devil.
The devil. Yeah, wow. So amazing. It really
so
is.
So occult stuff.
Too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus, like, 12 is just really considered a complete number because there's, you know, there's 12 months, 12 zodiacs, 12 gods of Olympus, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. Mm-hmm. Like, 12 mm-hmm. is just a full number, but 13 is just beyond
one
completeness.
Yeah.
It's the entrance of chaos into the balance of the universe, if you will.
Wow. I love that.
So 13 is...
That's today.
Yeah.
It's happening, right?
It's true. It is. Now. It really is happening.
Like, so what about, like, superstitions? Like, people who don't walk under... ladders.
Yeah, so like this is a big
mirrors.
One because it's like
or are scared of black cats.
Yeah, this is a lot. This just ties in with all of that because it's just like you want to avoid 13. Like people will actively skip like at most 80% of high rise buildings don't have a 13th floor.
Yeah, wow.
80%
yeah
of high rise buildings.
Like it's very yeah, like we were saying earlier, it's very insidious.
Mm-hmm. It's very insidious.
Like airplanes don't have 13th rows.
Exactly.
Because people are that
afraid. And it's just this deathly connotation that we've all built around it.
That I'm glad that... Yeah, go ahead.
...has created this fear.
I'm glad that you brought up the word death because mm-hmm. this morning I did a tarot card reading for the day and I pulled the death card.
Oh my gosh.
Which if you remember on Skrull Radio, we have talked about tarot mm-hmm. cards and how the death card isn't as like... terrifying as it may initially mm-hmm. seem, and it's actually like more of like a transformation and change card, which is cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I love thinking of death as change.
Yeah.
Rather than
an end. That's definitely mm-hmm. never what
because nothing really ever ends.
Ooh.
It just shifts. You know, there's a certain matter of content in the universe, and it's all just constantly shifting.
True. Well said. We're getting deep.
Yes.
That's what Skrull's for, though.
True.
Deep
okay.
Thoughts.
Do any of us have any like writing superstitions or things that we write, like are scared to do when we write?
Mm-hmm. I might always title my document
first.
I don't think I've ever written on like an untitled document.
That's that's weird.
That
yeah.
is spooky.
I think it just helps me like really like get into the mindset of.
No,
like
I kind of like
I'm
that
doing,
rule.
You
yeah.
know, it like gives me mm-hmm. a
title it, start
goal.
It, do it.
Yeah.
Even if the title is like, I have like a lot of weird, really long titles. Like, I don't know what this is, but I was kind of thinking I'm writing this one thing
yeah.
and like mm-hmm. it might sound like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's a good one.
It keeps me organized.
Yeah.
But do you feel like bad luck if you don't do it?
If I don't do it, you I feel don't. Like the document isn't going to like. Not like stay on track, you know, but it's not gonna like fulfill the
yeah.
purpose that I need it to fulfill.
Interesting, yeah.
Fully. Yeah.
I don't think I have any
writing superstitions are interesting.
Yeah.
I guess like I'm not like really like a writer, you know, like I mean I'm a writer because
yeah.
everyone who writes is a
yeah.
writer.
Yeah.
Come
everyone.
On.
She saw me look at her.
Yeah. Kate was disapproving.
Yeah.
Like anyone who writes is a writer and I am a writer, but like I'm not like that's not like a career, you know, for
right.
me.
Right.
Like this is
well this is just
that's
about
not
like,
something I do frequently. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if someone like did describe this like, oh, I am like
a writer.
Like maybe those people would have more superstitions.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because, I mean, there is no universal process for writing, which
Ooh.
Is, you know, because, so everybody, that means everybody just has their own superstition about writing itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I definitely know that, it's not a superstition, but it is a belief that I know that if I write my first draft handwritten and then type it to edit it, it comes out better.
Okay.
Like, that's just not it. I don't know if that's a superstition, but it's a
Sounds
strong
like
belief
it, yeah.
of mine.
I feel like a superstition is just like, believing, like
Maybe.
Having a feeling of something,
a feeling of
right?
Something. Definitely,
you know?
Definitely. And I know that, like, I write to process a lot of things, and I think that I strongly have a superstition that I know I won't process something fully until I've written a piece about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's definitely, I think that's definitely a superstition of mine. It's
I
like,
think I maybe have that too.
You know, like, I have to process something fully if I write it down.
Yeah.
Like, in order to do that.
I get that. So let me, I just wanted to Google the actual definition of the word superstition, and mm-hmm. it's excessively credulous belief in and reverence for supernatural beings.
Well, yeah. Like, okay, actually.
Yeah. So it's that feeling of supernatural, yeah. That
not to be too cosmic, but like whenever I'm going to start a creative project, I light my air prayer candle, which prays to the gods of inspiration and creativity.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So, and since I'm a Gemini, which is an air sign, I feel very connected to the air, you know. We're out here with my air candle.
I'm so glad you brought up astrology because yes. We're gonna have to have a talk about that.
We are.
As to say, what else did we want to talk about with Friday the 13th superstitions?
Well, I just was generally wondering, like, do you guys have any, like, interactions with Friday the... Have y'all ever had, like, a really bad Friday the 13th that you're just like,
no,
but, of course.
No, but I've always been, like, really paranoid on Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
because I fully I do believe that it's, like, mm-hmm. a little bit of a cursed day.
That's fair.
So I have an anxiety disorder that makes me afraid of a lot of things. So I think growing up before it was diagnosed, mm-hmm. Friday the 13th would really scare me because I was already like scared of bad things happening. And mm-hmm. then it was like, here's a day where bad things are definitely going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that fear part of it is like insidious and like huge, right? Like that's what spreads.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I actually had one, mm-hmm. but I was always like, today's a terrible day.
It's like general edge, like, you know? Paranoia.
It is very paranoia.
Yeah. Which, how helpful is that?
Not
really.
Not helpful. Well, I remember I got teeth pulled on a Friday the 13th.
Ooh,
8 that's, teeth, nonetheless.
Wow.
Wow. I've had most of my teeth pulled. Let's just be honest.
Really?
Like I've had 16 of 20 pulled. Like,
wow.
Like baby teeth that just like baby wouldn't teeth. Come out.
Yeah. Like my mouth, like my mouth is yank. Just too small. Let's just talk about my teeth. My mouth is just too small for teeth. So there's no wiggle room to wiggle them out.
Mm.
So we just had to get them pulled because it was like ridiculous.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like in batches.
I was like,
eight.
Do you have fake teeth? And I just didn't know it, but that's fine. Okay.
Yeah. No. They're all, these ones are all real.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
These real.
But yeah. So like Friday the 13th, like that was pretty early. I want to say that was like first grade. Like I had to miss my class's Valentine's Day party kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Because it was Friday the 13th mm-hmm. and then Saturday was the 14th. You know,
in February.
But like, I definitely went and got my teeth pulled on Friday the 13th. And I think Friday the 13th just has this weird feeling of like something's going to happen at some point.
It's like this darkness mm-hmm. that just kind of looms there. I always think of a Fairly Odd Parents episode.
Yeah.
Where the fairies live in like the Friday the 13th world where everyone is the same, but like their mm-hmm. exact dark opposite, you know?
Yes.
And I think that's really interesting to.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, actually, I'm wondering if there's any thinning of the boundaries between our world and the spirit world on Friday the 13th.
There's got to be, right?
Especially, like, in October when it's Hallows season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I sound like I know a lot of stuff sometimes, and this is one of those times where I'm going to Google this to make sure I'm right.
Yeah, do it. But I think it's a pretty strong theory,
mm-hmm.
because why else would this day have so much significance, like from so many different cultures, you know, there's like a lot of different angles that it comes out.
Yeah. Well, I'm not seeing anything right now, but I'm going to look into it as I do. What else? Let me think.
Do we have any suggestions for avoiding bad luck on Friday the 13th?
I usually just try to be as positive and friendly as possible.
Oh, mm-hmm. I just thought of a superstition I very, very much believe in.
Yes.
Lucky pennies.
Really?
Oh. Yes.
Do you believe the whole thing where it's like it has to be a heads up?
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not a lucky penny.
And if it's heads down, sometimes I'll pick it up and drop it again for whoever.
That's nice. That's
but
really
I don't weird. Like you just. Yeah, right. You just drop it to see, then like maybe someone else will get the luck out of it, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you putting luck into this universe.
But I believe in them because they've always been, you know, like a thing that I thought was cute, and mm-hmm. I would be like, oh, mm-hmm. if that's a penny on the ground, is it heads up? Like, I wonder if it's lucky or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there was one time I was in Disney World in junior year of high school.
I was in Disney World.
With the band, with amazing. On a band trip. We had marched like down the main street in Disney World mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were coming back that night And it was like a Monday night or something. And we were going to have class the next day. And we were all like, man, none of us did our homework this weekend. We were in Disney World. Yeah. Like, this is going to be awful. And we're walking into a ride and I found a lucky penny and I picked it up and I thought, I hope we don't have school tomorrow. That's what I'm going to wish on this lucky penny. Put it in my pocket. And then on the plane ride home, as soon as we landed, we found out we had a snow day the next day.
Wow.
Bananas. You did
crazy.
That.
I wow. did that.
You are just.
So now I pick them up and I keep them and sometimes I put them in my journals. I think they're real. I think they carry some kind of magic.
That's cool.
Well, if you guys need a lucky penny, I have some. So well,
pennies
I'll share
are
the wealth.
Definitely like. I remember there's something to do with like having 13 pennies. I feel like having 13 pennies was like a thing.
They're almost like they're like another off thing, right? They're like they're an odd, they're a prime number, well, right? We were talking about kind of the numbers of the numerology of 13.
Like 13 is the sixth prime number, which is correlated with like, you know, 666.
Yeah, right?
But it's also it's a Fibonacci number, and it's also like the number for the star number. I'm not sure what the star number is. Are we math people here? No. But there's a star number, and apparently it has something to do with 13. And it's really just like...
It's all connected,
it's all
I think.
It's all interconnected, of course. We are interconnected out here.
We really believe it on Squirrel.
Truly.
We do.
Why don't we take a quick break, and then we can get into some other ways that I think we're all connected.
Yeah.
Zoe, do you want to intro this amazing song that we picked?
Yes. This song is the new Florence and the Machine song?
No, I lied to you all.
We are listening to something just as good. Annie Lennox, my absolute icon, doing a cover of I Put a Spell on You.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. You better stop the things you do. I tell you, I ain't lying. I ain't lying. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, Daddy. I can't stand it 'cause you put me down. Oh, I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Oh,
Welcome back, Skrull Nation. Shout out to a witch queen.
Yes.
Putting Annie. A spell on us all God. In the studio here. We're getting a little witchy, which we have a couple times before. Mm-hmm. This isn't our first.
We call our group chat Skrull Witches.
Yeah.
So
it's Skrull not. Witches. Yeah. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that it came to this eventually.
No, we're witchy. It's fine.
So we're talking about Friday the 13th, the spooky day. How are you guys feeling this morning? Are you feeling spooky about today in general? Has it been a bad day?
It hasn't.
Mine's been okay, I'm going to be honest. I had a good morning.
Mine was actually like pretty good. I get to spend it with some people I love. Nice. And like there were a few speed bumps, I will say,
already
in my morning. Yeah. It was like, oh, but...
You just got to push through, it was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I mean, I definitely was like running late today. For like good reasons. It was just like I overslept and you know, but like it was like I needed it, but it was still just like today just feels a little off.
Yeah. You know what? I think there has been something that's been a little off for the past a little while, right? A couple weeks.
Oh,
maybe?
Definitely.
Yeah. Let it's us not talk just about today.
Why though?
Let's talk about freaking Mercury and retrograde.
Mercury and retrograde.
So I think the correct way to say it is that Mercury is retrograde.
Yeah,
we're
going to
get particular about the linguistics
Mercury
of it.
Mercury is retrograde.
We have not done a full-blown astrology episode on Skrull.
It's coming,
I think, because we're saving it and we're really... You
know, it's going to be big.
It's going to be big when it happens. So, isn't going to be a full astrology episode, but we do want to look at... Mercury is known as the planet of communication, and when it goes into... Or when it is retrograde, it... causes a lot of issues for a lot of people. It goes into retrograde about 3 times a year, and it's a big astrologically significant event because of how much it can potentially mess up. So let me read just a teensy bit about Mercury.
I'm so ready for Mercury.
This is from the only astrology book you'll ever need.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Do you have a PDF of iconic.
I do have a PDF of it. So if you just want to Google it, I'm sure you could find it.
I'd love that.
So this is on the section about Mercury. So from the beginning of man's observation of this elusive planet, Mercury has been associated with speed and agility. In ancient mythology, Mercury was the messenger of the gods. He was young, beautiful, and swift as the wind, for his feet had wings. His province was communication, commerce, everything requiring skill and dexterity. Not only was he clever in speech, but also invented music, mathematics, and astronomy. In Roman times, Mercury also became the god of thieves, for he was a cunning trickster full of guile. So, that's kind of like our mythological background, right?
Yes.
So, in astrology, Mercury is the planet of mental activities, communication, and intellectual energy. All things we talk about all the time here on Skrull and with peer tutoring and writing. It rules over your intelligence, perception, and reason, memory, speaking, and writing. It reflects the way you see, hear, understand, and assimilate information. Day-to-day travel, short trips, and the various means of transportation are under its dominion. It also controls the functions of the nerves, arms, hands, and fingers. So, that's just a teensy bit about the planet Mercury and what and the mythological significance of the god. And when you look at your own birth chart, wherever your Mercury is in, your Mercury placement affects how you communicate with people. We won't get into all of that because that's a whole nother
thing.
But when Mercury goes retrograde, it goes retrograde for everybody. So, you know, whereas your birth chart is your specific birth chart when the moment you were born kind of thing. Mercury stays retrograde for a couple weeks and... it messes things up a little bit.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
So retrograde is normally something is direct. A planet is direct, and then it goes retrograde when
Doesn't that mean that its orbit goes
its
backwards for a little bit?
Yes.
It's like not backwards, but it's like retracing its steps in a bizarre way.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I'm not going to confirm anything because I don't know any science about it, but I'm going to say that sounds right.
Yeah. Well, I think I remember it being like, the fact that it goes retrograde is because the orbit path is not... Well, the orbit path is elliptical and not circular. So there's that weird oval shape that it makes, and sometimes you cross over it.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yes.
I love that. I have a better understanding of it now. So when Mercury goes into retrograde, here's a little thread. This is from Astrology Twitter.
Yep. Yay.
We stan it because it's a pseudoscience, so it's kind of hard to get like real sources on it. So the only astrology book we all ever need is one, but also Happy Capricorn on Twitter is a great source. So let's see. Mercury rules
Gemini and Virgo, and a planet of agility, intellectual function, communication, transportation, technology, blah, blah, blah. Four times a year it goes retrograde. This planet slows down, which makes it appear to move backward. So that's what it
is. Okay, that's what it is.
Its energy changes as a result, hence the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
When Mercury is retrograde, this quick planetary energy slows way down. Complicated processes need more space to work, and as a result, things like technology and particularly transportation get off track, derailing easily. Leave plenty of time to get places, trust me. With this retrograde occurring in Aries, so the season is
Aries
for astrology people, the sun sign is in Aries.
Which is messing me the heck up as a triple water sign.
Which means she's very emotional.
Yeah, I've been having a rough few weeks.
Oh, honey. Well,
yeah. Zoe and I are also Mercury Dom.
We are
dominated by Mercury planets, truly. Geminis and Virgos. So when this retrograde happens, we slow a lot down.
Yeah.
In a bad way.
Or
it tries to slow down, right?
It's a very impactful way. We'll just say that.
Let's see. So... there will be an impulse to want things your way when you want it with immediate gratification. What I'm saying is that you're going to be disappointed here if you have those expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You need to approach things with much more flexibility now. You need to be able to go with the flow and talk yourself down from frustration. Don't overreact. Don't escalate. Take a deep breath. Expect communications to be full of speed bumps, misinterpretation, faux pas, accidental hurt feelings. If you don't slow down and choose your words with intention, you're going to step on some toes or get yours stepped on.
Mm.
All planetary retrogrades ask us to reflect on our progress and motivation. Slow down. Ask yourself what you can be doing to help things move smoothly, even if it's just a helpful attitude adjustment. Amazing.
Yeah. No, once I found out about Mercury's retrograde being like a thing, it just really made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, not just this 2 weeks, but like every Mercury retrograde. Mm-hmm. There's always just something that's very like...
It's very popular now. It, like, pop culture is jumps on.
Mm-hmm. Which is great, because it's definitely like, it truly does influence you. Like, you don't want to believe it. You don't have to believe it, but there is influence that has fallen upon you with Mercury.
Mm-hmm. And I think this also brings up a lot of ideas that we talk about just in communication in general. So even if we don't necessarily think that the stars or the planets have anything to do with, you know, our day-to-day lives here, which we obviously
we do believe.
Yeah. But even if you didn't, we're still addressing key issues of taking your time when communicating, making sure, you know, not to step on anybody's toes, which is, I think, a huge thing that, like, we have to keep in mind as peer writing tutors.
I was just going to say, that's a big thing, is, like, just making sure that you're aware and responding to what's actually being said.
Yes.
I mean, communication, I feel, is always, like, the most profitable, I guess.
Interesting word.
When it's handled, like, as calmly as possible, like, as detailed as possible, like, every kind of, like,
as thorough,
poor communication like experience I've had has been either like not enough communication at all, or it's been like careless, you know, like people are just like saying whatever.
I agree. You can't solve anything unless you have, like, all problems come from not communicating well, I think.
And as peer tutors, we have to be able to communicate with our writers.
We do. Yeah. And they have to be able
to communicate with each other. And each other as thoughtfully as possible.
And our peers have to be able to communicate with us. And I think that's one of the hard parts about peer writing tutoring, is often they don't know what they're trying to communicate. And I love working with students, and when they get to that conclusion of what they're trying to actually communicate, not only in their paper, but what they want out of the paper.
Yeah.
Or the piece of writing in general.
That's a great point.
That's why it's important to give writers time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our, like, big, like, main practices as tutors that we're taught. Like, just give them time to breathe.
Yeah.
And, like, figure their self out before, like, jumping into things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Excellent points.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to say that, Zoe, when you're talking about, I think we do have a lot of, like, a facilitatory relationship with writers, where we're trying to help facilitate, like, what it is they want to communicate,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really interesting to look at peer tutoring in the scope of Mercury retrograde, because you almost have to look at it like, how would I communicate to this person, like, in the most careful way possible, so that they can communicate their ideas in the most careful way possible, which is pretty much what we do all the time.
It really is.
Which is crazy.
I love it.
And then Gia said, can you repeat a little bit of what you just said? Or do you not remember? You said something.
What I just said about writers?
Yeah.
how we're taught that we have to be able to give writers time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Talking about like minimalist tutoring, we talk a lot about when we're training. Mm-hmm. And
we're just like facilitators for writers to like come to full conclusions, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. And minimalist tutoring happens to be more of like a hands-off approach, mm-hmm. where you know, some directive tutoring can be like, okay, why don't we try this, or you can mm-hmm. do that, or let's mm-hmm. do this together, whereas minimalist is, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And I think minimalist tutoring often like gives tutors like a chance to sit back and mm-hmm.
that's
be
true.
Quiet and let yes. the writer think things mm-hmm. through,
which is really important, because I know just from personal experience, like being tutored and tutoring, like there's sometimes this feeling of being rushed and just hurried because we have a short amount of time and because the deadlines, but it's really, really important to be able to sit down and just be like, think about mm-hmm. what I'm going to say before I say it. Yeah. And this is why revising is so important, because you say things.
And sometimes you need to revisit that.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, I think I find a lot of inspiration in minimalist tutoring. And minimalist tutoring.
You know what? I was just going to say, though, like, we're all kind of scatterbrained. We're doing a radio show during Mercury.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, course, it's fine, so it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it all just makes
it's
sense.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's a mess, and it's cool. Technology, you know what I mean? Like, last week when the
Our theme song wouldn't play last week, so we just sang it halfway through the show.
That's Mercury. It's just doing its thing, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
We'll be better off later for it, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, I think I find a lot of inspiration in minimalist tutoring, because when I work with a student, I don't want like a lot of their work and their mindset on writing to reflect like my mindset on writing and like my ideas for their work.
Yeah,
because like it's not mine. It's not mine to like co-opt. And so like I think that minimalist tutoring helps me allow the writer, and like I said, facilitate the writer to be able to think about and eventually find like their own inspirations and ideas.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not me influencing them. Mm-hmm. That's just me like helping them,
guiding
them to that conclusion.
Well, the thing is, like, one of the biggest things in writing is having a voice, and Mercury really messes up your voice when it goes retrograde,
mm-hmm.
because it's very much like it's the communication one. Yeah. And it really just makes you feel like everything you say is being interpreted backwards.
Yeah.
So having confidence in your own voice, in your writing, even when Mercury is not going retrograde.
Yeah, just all the time.
Just all the time. It's like a super big thing that I think we try to work on at the Writing Center.
I agree. And I kind of am seeing the reflection theme come out in mm-hmm. this retrograde season, because it's almost like, when Mercury is retrograde, you have to reflect on how you are communicating so mm-hmm. that you don't mess mm-hmm. it up so bad.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think actually that there's a, like, we made a beautiful connection between Mercury being in retrograde and peer writing tutoring. And maybe we should have brought it up a little earlier, like at the beginning.
Because
it ends in 2 days, but it's been going on for a while.
Yeah. We've just been like a mess, and like the whole
just,
thing.
It's fine. It's totally fine. But I think, Maybe we should get a little what peer tutors should do during Mercury and retrograde.
Oh, you're right.
When communication slows down.
We can always do that for a future show, because like you said, it happens 3 times a year.
Four times a year,
and lasts for like a long period, a substantial period of time every time it happens. So like when that happens, if tutors find themselves having a hard time, if they're, you know, ruled by, if you're a Gemini or a Virgo, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or if you're like me and it's Aries season and Mercury is in retrograde and you're a double Cancer, and so you're just, you've been crying a lot.
I love it.
A double Cancer rising Scorpio. And so you've just been wiling out with emotions out here.
For our listeners who don't understand astrology, Gia is emotional.
Gia is truly made of emotion.
Couldn't
right
tell.
Now,
I'm just full of water.
Okay, so what do we think are some good tips for tutors during retrograde, Mercury retrograde? I think
take it slow.
Yeah, number one is try minimalist tutoring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lead with minimalist tutoring, just to feel it out.
Definitely.
If you get inspired to like have more input, I think that's okay. But like, don't come out the gun, just being like, okay,
guns
like,
blazing.
This is
this is not the time for guns a blazing.
No, this is time for taking it back. I definitely think
mm-hmm.
listening to what you're saying as you're saying it, just so that way you know what you're saying. Because I think in
just being careful
being aware of what you're saying. So when they ask you questions about what you're saying, you know what you said.
Just try to be as kind to others as possible, I think.
Yes.
And understand that everyone's everyone's going through what you're going through. Also, pack a snack.
I'm big
leave
on that.
Please 5 minutes early for
leave 5 minutes early, pack snacks, drink water.
This is for everybody, not just
this is all the time. Yeah. You should always leave 5 minutes early, pack a snack and drink water, but especially
pack a double snacks, leave 10 minutes early. Right?
No, actually though, I was almost late for one of my jobs this week because I was just not good at reading the train signs.
That'll happen to you, right?
I was oh my gosh, no.
I'm trying to think of, I feel like I had another thing I wanted to suggest for writers during Mercury and retrograde.
I would suggest keeping track of what you do. Even if
maybe journal. Do a little bullet journal.
Do some journaling, some bulleting. If you're making revisions, maybe track revisions. Because I feel like when I'm in Mercury retrograde and I'm writing, I delete a lot of stuff and then I'm like, no, I wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I change a lot of things. And then when I go back afterwards and I'm revising, I'm like, those changes I made are really drastic and were not necessary.
Try not to second guess yourself.
Yes, try not to second guess it. But also be intentional.
Amazing. I love it. Happy Capricorn has some advice.
Yes.
So let's see what that advice is and if it can apply to writing.
Thank you,
well.
Happy Capricorn.
So thanks, Hallie. Aries and Mercury retrograde bullet points. Slow down. Leave plenty of time to get there. Don't rely too heavily on tech/call IT. Speak intentionally. I think that's a really good one, right?
Yeah.
It's about being intentional when you speak. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Which requires preemptive thinking.
Yeah. Cut people some slack and ask them what they meant before you get in your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
So I think that's a big thing, right? Is not responding quickly.
That's big.
Which is part
me.
Of minimalist tutoring, I think. You know, it's taking a minute. That's a big thing we don't talk about very often, but silence in peer writing tutoring. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes okay to have quiet in a conversation. Mm-hmm. If someone's thoughtfully thinking, they may take a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Or even if they're not thoughtfully thinking, just being in quiet makes them think anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might not be thoughtful, but they are thinking.
They have to now. Yeah.
Don't try to fill the silence with noise.
Mm-hmm. So here's another part of astrology that people talk about a lot is not making any new big decisions when Mercury's retrograde because things are so funky. So no new commitments, they suggest, no new jobs, relationships, marriage, financial things that may affect some people in this room, but it's fine. Promises will not be kept/ will require immense compromise, apparently.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiO.
SpaghettiOs. It also says do not text and drive, get repairs
never
done.
Never text and drive.
Before or after, not during. So if your phone's broken or something.
Oh.
Wait.
No. Like it may.
Just wait two days. You got it. We can get out of this alive, y'all.
Yeah.
Finally, expect change. Try not to attempt to force things to happen a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And use this time for introspection.
Yeah. Good. No, those are very related to peer tutoring, all of them.
Nice.
I love it. We're reflecting queens.
We really are. I really think I need to think about what I've done this past Mercury retrograde because some things have definitely happened.
See, and now we're really reflecting, maybe too hard.
Too hard.
We didn't mean to get that, what to do it. But we do have another song. Going to take our last little break here. Yeah. Get you with what you're reading on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe, do you want to tell us what song we're listening to now?
Okay, now we're listening to the new Florence and the Machine song, A Sky Full of Song, She's Back, Our Witchy Queen, Part 2.
A good friend told me you've been staying out so late. Be careful, oh my darling, oh be careful what it takes. From what I've seen so far, the good ones always seem to break. And I was screaming at my father and you were screaming at me. And I can feel your anger from way across the sea. And I was kissing strangers, I was causing such a scene. Oh, the heart, it hides such unimaginable things. Grab me by my ankles, I've been flying for too long. I couldn't hide from the thunder in a sky full of song. And I want you so badly, but you could be anyone. I couldn't hide from the thunder in a sky full of song. Hold me down, I'm so
music starts to play. In a city without seasons, it keeps raining in LA. I feel like I'm about to fall, the room begins to sway. And I can hear the sirens, but I cannot walk away. Grab me by my ankles, I've been flying for too long. I couldn't hide from the thunder in a sky full of song. And I want you so badly, but you could be anyone. I couldn't hide from the thunder in a sky full of song. Hold me down, I'm so tired now. Aim your arrow at the sky. Take me down, I'm too tired now. Leave me where I lie. I thought I was flying, but maybe I'm dying tonight. I thought flying, but maybe I'm dying tonight. And I thought I was flying, but maybe I'm dying tonight. I thought I was flying, but maybe I'm dying tonight. Hold me down, I'm so tired now. Aim your arrow at the sky. Take me down, I'm too tired now. Leave me where I lie. Hold me down, I'm too tired now. Aim your arrow at the sky.
Welcome back, Skrull Nation. We're talking about Friday the 13th. We're talking about bad luck. We're talking about Mercury being retrograde.
Yeah,
it's the
yeah.
Black Cat episode.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to do a little what you're reading.
Yeah.
Because we like to talk about what we're reading because I think as writers, we're also readers. It's very important.
It's
words
really
are the currency of life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Wow.
I used to have to say that about our word of the day, but I will say it about what you're reading now. Mm-hmm. So what you guys reading?
Oh, mine's a little dark.
No, yours are always dark,
yours
and that's
are always
fine.
Like,
I like reading.
You appreciate it, and that's fine.
You're,
drama.
Yeah.
We all have our own tastes.
Okay, well, I
genre,
am...
Genre, yeah.
I am reading... it's a memoir. I'm reading Smashed, Story of a Drunken Girlhood. It's a memoir from 2005, and it's an American writer, Corin. I'm going to really butcher her last name. Let me just take a second. Corin Zalesas.
That sounds great to me.
I'm into it.
Yeah. Yep. It was on the New York Times bestseller list, just letting you know, in 2005.
Okay, got some credibility, got some ethos.
So it's legit. But it's basically about this author, Corin, and she has like she had a problem with like alcohol abuse as an adolescent, like at like 14. And it's just about like the binge drinking phenomenon of like children, basically. And she discusses a lot of like stuff about like girls of her generation and like habits of like adolescent females, especially in relation to like drinking and drug abuse.
Right.
And it's very like interesting to see. Not that I know a lot of people who like abuse drugs and stuff, but there have been like, you know, patterns of like young women like abusing it for like certain reasons and you know, certain patterns and that, and it's just very interesting to see parallels. It's a lot about like what kind of like the like personality of women who she finds often end up abusing drugs, and
that's
it's like
interesting.
Fascinating.
She said something, it says, I'm gonna read a little bit from the Wikipedia page. Zailkas doesn't agree with what psychologists and sociologists and the sociologists, the clinicians, and the statisticians have to say, which was girls today are drinking more because they're just so damn liberated, because they're bursting with confidence about in girl power, because they believe that they can match boys anywhere, including the bar. In her own experience, the author says she and her female friends drank largely because it was an expression of their unhappiness and lack of confidence.
Got real there.
Yeah, so it's really sad, but it's
but very interesting, yeah, especially in this day and age too, to read that, like, as college students as, who are surrounded by that kind of culture.
So it's really interesting to look at. Highly recommend.
I have been reading for, I'm in a literature, an American literature in the environment class.
Ooh.
And we started with...
Eco-goth, I'm into it.
Yeah, we started with, I'll have to share some of the Thoreau and all that we're reading. But we started with the first novel published by a Native American woman ever, which was only done so in 1977.
You're kidding.
Which is quite shameful. I agree. Mm-hmm. Right,
oh my God.
Yeah, insane.
Rude.
It's called Ceremony, and it's by Leslie Marmon Silko, who is from the southwestern region. I think she was part of the Navajo and the Pueblo, And so the book is very beautifully written, and it's the perspective of a Native American boy in southwestern America. Like, I think it's got to be Texas. Maybe not. I don't want to get it wrong. New Mexico, somewhere around there. And he is post-World War II, and he fought in the war, like, against the Japanese and alongside other American soldiers. And he lost, you know, his best friend in the war.
Course,
he lost his uncle while he was gone. So the book is really, you know, about his grieving process, as well as, like, the grieving process of, like, all of the Native American people for their lost country, almost.
Well,
Yeah, and it's beautifully written. It's just got some lovely metaphors. It's kind of about the rain coming back. There, you know, he's in, like, a desert area, and so it's about
symbolism.
Rain. Yeah. Ooh, it's great. I honestly I'm very pleasantly surprised by it, because I've read novels in class where I'm just like, okay, next one.
That's always great when you get, like, assigned something that you
that
enjoy.
I deeply love. Like, as a piece of art, I can appreciate it. So I absolutely 1000% recommend that one. Ceremony, Leslie Marmon Silko. What about you, Zoe? You
I'm actually reading Swamplandia. There's an explanation point at the end. By Karen Russell. I love this
author. Yeah.
I read her short story collection, Vampires in the Lemon Grove, this past winter, and it blew my world
wide
open.
Let me Google which story I'm thinking of hers that, like, changed my life, because I'm thinking
Actually, so many of those in that book just, like, shook me to my core.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really trying to see how she handles longer form, because I've only read her short stories, you know? And so far, so good. I mean, I really like the... It's just such a unique foundation for the story itself. It's like this family.
Yeah, why don't you explain it?
So the family, there's this large, well, not, it's like four.
Wait, what's the title?
Swamplandia.
Swamplandia, okay.
So, like, it's this family. They own a alligator-themed amusement park.
Oh, amazing.
On an island off the Florida coast. And it's basically gets shut down after the mother dies and after a different theme park opens on the mainland. And it's just them all trying to come to terms with, like, grief and loss, but also puberty and, like, life changing and them, their entire way of existence being erased, basically.
Yeah.
And it's really, truly beautifully written. And the character development is fascinating because it's, like, these three kids and their dad.
Yeah.
And the three kids, like, never went to school. They, like, never spoke to anybody besides each other. You know, it's very, like, isolated, social isolation, which doesn't exist in this world anymore. So them, like,
that's wild.
The characterization's amazing, and I love this author, so I'm like, I'm really intrigued. I'm like a fourth of the way through, so we'll see.
Okay, so I think if I remember correctly, she wrote, I'm like really scared that I'm gonna get it wrong. Let me just, like, check on the inside of the book cover of what story she wrote. Karen Russell, The Prospectors. Yes, I was right. Okay, yes. Have you read that one?
Yes.
Yes, so good.
Oh,
my goodness. That was honestly one of my favorite stories from that class. It was from a fiction class, and it was so good. We're going to talk about what I did read, not what I'm currently reading. But that's a really great story because it's about girls in the 1930s, like, Depression era, very poor, like orphans or like not really estranged from their family, go run to the coast, to the west coast, to basically find gold rush dudes to scam out of their money so that they can survive off of it.
Love that.
But they go up this mountain, this ski lift, to this lodge, and it turns out that like there's like a lot of supernatural. It's a good Friday the 13th story.
It's a great
story.
Friday the 13th story.
Can you just give it a quick plug again?
Karen Russell, The Prospectors. It's in the Best American Short Stories of 2016.
Does she actually, a lot of her stories have to do with like weird supernatural elements that you just don't expect.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, that's one thing that we talked about a lot in literary fiction where everything is normal except for one thing.
One thing that you're just
supernatural.
Like, but it's the way she's presented it is it feels so normal in the world that she's built that you don't question it. But you're also like, ghosts and spooky monsters. Like vampires.
So how far are you into this one?
Like a fourth. So I'm like, I'm really actually like, I haven't read like a book in a while that I've been able to chug at.
Nice.
And I'm like,
ready.
It's in my backpack right now. I'm like, meh. I read it on the bus yesterday.
Gotta read it now.
Yeah. I was like,
That's amazing. Well, I think that's about it
Black Cat episode.
Bad luck, Black Cat. Although I will say that Black Cats do not, they're the first to be euthanized in shelters.
Yeah, they're the last to be adopted.
So
please go out and get a Black
Cat,
babes.
Adopt a Black Cat.
I think they're super cute.
Another fun thing to do on this Friday the 13th, if you're in Chicago or like a big city, is get tattoos.
Get
because
tattoos.
A lot of
shops,
parlors do $13 deals or $31 deals.
Like Friday the 13th themed flash sheets. There's a big pull I can list off. Like, we might be heading out to go get some today.
Who knows? We'll keep Scrawl Nation updated on it. But the next couple of days, you know, we got to be careful today. And while we finish out Mercury retrograde,
be careful, take care
of
yourself.
We're being intentional. And we'll catch you on the flip side, Scrawl Nation.
Catch you on the flip side of Mercury.
See you next week, Scrawl.